Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus. We thank you for a wonderful time with you. We thank you, Heavenly Father, because we are refreshed in your presence. We thank you because we are never the same when we come in your presence. Now, Spirit of God, we thank you because you minister to us today. You teach us. You teach us the ways of Jesus. You teach us the path that we should follow, because we seek to glorify none other than Jesus, and therefore you bring us and change us day by day into the image of the Son of God. Now we thank you, Holy Spirit, because you prepare the bride for the coming of the bridegroom. Now we are here, Spirit of God, to be prepared, to be adorned, to be made ready for the great and glorious day when the groom comes for his bride. And now the Spirit and the bride say, come. Thank you, Holy Spirit, because you're ever with us and you make us ready. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. Last week, I spoke to you about starting something that the Lord has called you to start. Now, a few people, this gentleman here, you come. You see, he's even dressed in a coat for the first time. Eh? You give him a mic. Eh? Tell us what you started and what the Lord is doing, so that you encourage everybody to do something.
Praise the Lord. Last year, when the watchman talked about seeking the Lord, do you remember the last Friday of last year? So I went seeking the Lord, and I knew that there's going to be something ministerial upon my life this year. So this year, but I didn't know that it's going to come very fast. So 4 weeks ago, when I was praying at night, the Lord instructed me to start a ministry, and I saw where it's going to happen, and I saw everything. So when I got that instruction, I said, okay, it is like 4 weeks ago. So I tried to say, is it really the will of God? But it came very clear. So I knew that it was the will of God, and I was willing to go for it. Praise the Lord. So I tried to, because he showed me the next day when I was praying, he showed me again where I should go and get some other things. So I went and tried to tell some other people that we should start something here. He said, yes, we can start something here like this. So it was all going through, like, there was no obstacle, praise the Lord. So I said, now I have one last confirmation which I have to make. So I went to Papa. So when I went to him, he told me, you go and start. But the Lord instructed me to even a date. He specified to me the date to start, and it was to be Saturday. So I went to Papa and he told me, you go and start this Saturday. Then I just said, okay. Then that one was the only confirmation I'd wanted to get. Then when I, of course, I didn't start that week. I started the next week. I got some other few people, the team, whom they will help me, maybe like organizing and everything. So they accepted everything like that. The team came up and I talked to them. They said, yes, they organized everything on that Saturday, the next Saturday. That one is 2 weeks ago. So when they did that,
So when did you start?
2 weeks ago.
What did you start?
A fellowship.
Fellowship where?
It's at Luboa.
That's where you stay?
Yes.
So is it within your locality?
Yes.
Okay. And how was the first meeting?
In the first meeting, we were 13 in number.
13 people?
Yes.
Uh-huh. And the next one?
The next one, we were 19.
You're 19?
Yes.
So you've had two only so far?
Yes.
So tell us, what are some of the things the Lord did?
For the first time, the glory of God was so powerful, such that I was tired for 2 days. And then, for the first fellowship, there was a lot of, after preaching, then there was powerful ministration. And then I did some, I prayed for some people whom they came, they were healed. As they came, they were sick. So I prayed for them, they were healed.
Sick of what? Tell us.
For the first one, he had I don't know how to say it properly, but it's eye defect where he could not see properly. So he came to me, I prayed for him.
And was he healed?
He was healed instantly.
Instantly?
Yes.
Okay. And the next one? Another one?
Okay, that one was the first.
Yes.
But now, on the second fellowship, that day, there was too much of healing, instant healing. There was a person who came, she had ulcers, and she had some kind of pain, I think around the chest here. So I prayed for her. Within a second, she was healed, and there was no pain. And also, another lady, she came, she had Brucella. So that disease, it gives her a lot of pain on the abdomen, the lower abdomen, this side. So I prayed for her also. She got healed instantly.
Amen.
And then also, in the week, during the week, she... okay, that day also, I prayed for them. She had sickle cell. She had even the son, the child. She had the child had sickle cell. I prayed for them. I told them to go and check. But I think they'll come tomorrow.
They haven't brought the results.
Yes.
So you tell us. Glory to God. So now, here is the thing. Go and start your stuff. Praise the Lord. Now, Pastor Rego here is starting a lunch hour next month. Yes. Okay. And he's going to be teaching about end time. And Apostle Abraham here has his night prayer. You know about it. Amen? Now we are waiting for the rest of you. We are waiting. But now, here is the thing. It's not just about ministries. Some of you are supposed to start businesses. Because the end time dominion is not just ministry. Okay? Some of you are supposed to start legal firms, ministries, things like that in your area of expertise. Because God is counting on you to... We have to control everything. Every aspect of society. Praise the Lord. Now, some of you, you're stuck in a job. God is asking you to leave and go and start something of your own. And I remember somebody was telling me a testimony of some guy who was so scared. The Lord told him, leave, until he had to create a problem with his boss, and the guy left. And then he left amidst a lot of fear. But in the first month of his leaving, he made, and starting his own business, he left and started his own. He made twice as much money as his salary was in the first month after he left. And he has been going up and up since. So if the Lord is telling you to, if you feel like you're led to start, move out somewhere on your own, don't fear. Praise the Lord. Like, don't let fear hold you back to what you're familiar with. Step out. God is there. Now, we are a ministry of which gives birth to, you know, other things. Praise the Lord. You're not going to find many ministries in this city which are telling ministers to go and start their own ministries. Because they rather they stay there and they cook corner from there. Glory to God. But now, for us, everybody, like, the judgment seat of Christ is coming. All of you have to do what you're supposed to do. And it is not just ministry. Okay? For some people, it is a school. Like a kindergarten, something like that. And you start it and you raise those children to know things about God which will be of benefit to them at a later stage of their life. Praise the Lord. So now everyone has, nobody is going to be left behind in this. Like, I don't want people who just come and sit here and we ask you, what are you doing? How are you benefiting the kingdom of God? Glory to God. There has to be something. Business, what, something. Some of you are kingdom financiers, media, you know, film and things like that. Where is the other guy whom I prophesied on here the last time we were here about film? Some guy with a rough beard. Where is he? Hey, you come. Have you started something? Eh? I wish you knew what I saw that day. Eh? What have you started? Eh? Was I right? Does he have a rough beard? No, he doesn't. He has the rough hair. Anyway, what have you started something?
Yeah, I'm writing a script.
Script, eh?
Yes.
For what, a production or something?
Yes, for production.
Okay. Okay, at least he has started. Clap for him. Glory to God. The other people who are supposed to start things here. Lutwama. Eh? You first come. First come. There's a student here from who was in my office from Nairobi. They have started a fellowship in a university in Nairobi where they just listen to me on Friday through Mixler. Now, the thing has spread. The man, can you imagine, they have a hall. After listening, they pray for people. And there are miracles exploding. Now, the thing has caught a whole campus in Nairobi. So you see now people on the judgment seat of Christ. Somebody who was just a student and just gathered people to listen and started a movement. When the Lord is putting a crown on him, what would you be doing? Because the man has kick-started a fire, praise the Lord, in that country. Glory to God. So I don't want any of you to just come and sit down here and listen and go. Like, there has to be something. Because we are going to take this message to the world. We are not just what? And there are people who, there's some guy here, I'm not going to quote him here. The guy is, he dreamt about a house on top of Mbuya Hill. Actually, there are two houses, twin houses. Now, the guy is, okay, in natural, speaking from a natural, very broke. But he dreamt about those houses, and he went and saw the houses, and they were the ones he dreamt, and they were on sale. Now, he told the Lord, if really this, you want these houses for me, first start by giving me airtime to call the person, the number that... He needed 5,000 shillings to call. And he got it that moment by miracle. Then he called the owner. The guy was flying out of the country and he canceled his flight to come and... when he looked at the guy, he said, man, he said, Onyonyonde Devi said, I canceled my flight because of you, what? But the guy was undeterred. So now, when, by the way, you'd be shocked. First of all, the houses, now I know how these things of faith work. The houses have not gone. They will wait for him to get the money. and now even when he calls the owner of the houses, can you imagine he calls the owner of the houses and he's negotiating. The house is supposed to be, I think, 1.6 billion. He says, I'll give you 1.2 billion. And the guy doesn't even have 5K for airtime. But now he told the owner that God told me those houses are mine. Now the owner just keeps quiet and says, okay, let's wait and see. He's no longer getting angry. But now let me tell you, when that guy sits in those houses, he will have more than houses. He will have a testimony that God is God. Like, you know, people who have never had something where you know that this cannot have happened except by God. That's why people become insecure. And they become scared and fearful and what? That's why you'll find now like somebody has a lot of stuff, but he's very, very fearful because even Christians, especially Christians, okay? Now, let me tell you, if even you have a ministry, let's say like this, and everything you have, you've gotten through effort and striving, you cannot start telling people, go and start yours, you are scared. But now I know there is nothing I got here that the Lord did not give me. You understand? Eh? So there is no fear because you have to have one thing. Now that guy, that house would be those houses, his testimony that God is God. Now, he told me he holds on to two small miracles. The first one is the airtime, because he prayed and said, God, if really this is, and the airtime came immediately. Somebody sent him airtime immediately. Now we said, if that happened, the houses have to be made. Praise the Lord. Now, in the process, his faith is growing, growing. By the time he sits and crosses his legs in those houses, like he will know for sure that God is God. You cannot scare him that he will be poor again. Because he got those houses when he had no money. That's what it means to come and buy without money. Praise the Lord. But you see the things, these things sound so foolish to the people of the world. Now, thank God, like when he comes and tells me, I get excited. Because if I looked at the guy, the way he is, do you understand? But I know. Like you look at him and say, man, this guy is onto something powerful. Praise the Lord. So now no more fear. Okay? If God is leading you to start a business or a farm, both F-I-A and F-A, F-I-R and F-A-R, okay? Any one of those, go and start. Don't waste our time by coming here, and what? And just listening and, you know, ever learning but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth, Like, there has to be something. Now, the other day, somebody was telling me, I told you people that we had pledges of about 45 million from our partners meeting and from here. But by the time, the last time when I spoke to Claire, she told me we had in less than about 3 or 4 million. Now that is biswas. Now somebody, I hope by now it's more. More of you have fulfilled your pledges. You should. That's the first step. Now, somebody told me that she went and prayed to God and said, if those people are not fulfilling their pledges, you give me the money that is left of the pledges, I will give it for the ministry. You just use me as a vessel. Now, you see that somebody who has their mind in the right place, who knows God is not looking for money. Do you understand? He's looking for a vessel, just somebody. So he said, God, let me be the one to give it. Give it to me. Now, you just put yourself there and you see how you get it. Now, the trouble is, let me explain to you. None of this is, by the way, what I came to talk about. But let me explain to you why people remain in need all the time. Have you ever met people who are always in need? Now, some of you are like that. You move from need to need to need. You're putting out fires. Okay, you put out this fire, another one is here, you put it out. So you live your life like that. There's never a moment of comfort. Now, let me tell you why. Now, there was a time I was in tremendous need. And I'd been from that point. You're paying rent for 3 months ago, then you know those things. So don't think I haven't been through that. So all the time, you're somehow in need. Even when there is money which you're expecting, like it will delay at least 2 weeks. And in those 2 weeks, you find yourself going to a money lender. Like, and then they could have paid it to you 2 weeks ago, and you don't go to the money lender, then you end up paying interest, then you're in bondage. All the time you're behind. Somehow you never catch up with your what? With your needs. They are always ahead of you. Praise the Lord. So now I realize, I'm saying this because so many of you are like that. And I'm going to tell you why. Now, one time, I got a windfall. Now, not everybody, so many people here get windfalls. A windfall meaning you get, you know, a big amount of money. Praise the Lord. So I got a windfall. Now, then I was led to get off that money, a big amount of it, 10 million to be precise. So I was led to get that money and go and sow it. Now I struggled with that because I had needs. That 10 million could have solved so many of my needs and brought me up to at least a level of comfort. You know when your needs are like 13 million, then you have 10 million, then you feel like you should sow the 10 million. Do you understand? Then you say, but let me at least pay some people who are putting me under a lot of pressure. The next time I get money, then I will sow. Praise the Lord. Now, then you do that. Then you will always remain in need. Now, do you know what I did? I closed my eyes. I went to the bank. I got 10 million. I called Prophet Elvis. I told him, where are you? He was at Good African Coffee. I went and gave him the 10 million. It pained me. It pained me. But that was the last time I was behind my needs. Like, I don't know how it happened. I don't know, by the way, I don't know. In about 2 months, like, do you know I used to have like numbers of money lenders in my phone? Now I cannot even have one money lender to do what? Do you understand? Eh? Like, but I lived that life of where you're always on pressure. Now, that was the end of it. The end. Because I closed my eyes and said, this is not all I need. If the Lord is leading me to do this, let me do it. So I got it and gave it. And after that, and I remember very well, I met him, he was seated in his car, and I knocked the window. He said, so I sat inside and I said, I brought this in. Then he smiled and laughed. He laughed and actually told me that I'm very excited. He wasn't excited about the money. He was excited because he knew the financial position I was in, and he knew the fact that I can give a seed of 10 million means I'd passed a certain stage. So, then he laughed. Even when we went and were having coffee, he told me, to be honest, I'm still excited about it. Now, yeah, when your papa is excited, it translates to money. I'm telling you, I'm being very honest with you. I don't know what happened. Somehow more money came. Then you pay this one, then you pay the other, then you pay the other. Now, let's say you had needs of 13 million. So you got 15 million. And then the Lord is telling you, give 10 million. Then you say, then even of the 5 million, he tells you, use like 2 million for yourself. Now, you see that some people don't know that. It's because if you're always in destitution, that becomes your place, your residence. Eh? So you'll say, okay, you just use 3 million to pay that. The other one, you just eat it. I mean, just have a feeling of what it is like to have money. Do you understand? Eh? Because when you don't understand what it's like to have money, all you know is destitution, so you stay there. Now, that decision, they are like two sockets. Do you know sockets? The way sockets are, eh? There is socket A for need, socket B for abundance. Now, by choosing to obey the Lord, I plugged into abundance. Now, when I choose to obey my need, I plug into need. God tells you to give as if you have more. Now, you're plugging into abundance. Now, that's how. Now, if I had not done that, I would still be having numbers of money lenders. I'm telling you. Everything is, you're looking backwards. Everything is backwards. Everything is backwards. Backwards. Like, there is no time when you have money and there is nobody. Like, so every time you have money, there is somebody who has a claim on it. Glory to God. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Eh. So now, I'm giving you the secret, by the way. When you come and you pledge to do something for the Lord, by the way, in spite of the pain, just do it. Now, that was the time I gave him that. It was around December. I don't know what happened in the next 3 or 4 months. But in the next 3 or 4 months, the 10 million which I gave, like I would just wake up and go and sit in office, in my office, and I live with 7 million. Somebody come, the Lord told me to give you this. The Lord told me to give you this. And like I'm there, like I remember even one preacher came and found me, and I had money in my socks here. What, you know, because what do you do when you have 10 million? And if you put it in a pocket, it will swell like this. So I needed my socks and what? Now, that's when I realized what it is like to be in abundance. So one day, actually that guy, but I inspired him because we were having coffee and I was looking for small money. You know those things, eh? You want to give like a tip like of 10K or 20K, but you only have 50s. Eh? So I pulled out behind here a bundle of 50s. I look, there is no. I put it back. Then I pulled here. I look, I put it. Then I went to these socks. Now I didn't know the guy was looking at me. Eh? Now he said, because you leave office when the banks have closed and there is a lot of money all over you. Now I'm telling you, but and it all turned around. Now there is one moment when you have a chance to plug into abundance, but you choose to plug into need. Praise the Lord. Amen? Now that, it took me like 3 or 4 months to get from where I was permanently in need to where money has almost become a burden. So even when I go to the bank, I pull out from these socks, I pull out from here, then I put there. And just remain with some in my wallet, you know, for cappuccino and so on. Eh? Glory to God. Now one of you is going to learn something here today. Like when that can become, abundant, when you choose to act from abundance, give 10 million yet you don't, as if you have more yet you don't, you've plugged into abundance. When you choose to be dictated to by your needs, that becomes your life. And I have seen people who throughout their lives, there is not a single moment, not even one moment, when they can say, this is my money. And some of them, you know them as rich people. But there is not a single coin that does not have like an attachment. Do you understand? Eh? Like there is, now, what God is calling us to do is to get out of that area and get into a place where you are the only one. Now there's this rich man who came. There's a rich man who came and told me that. I mean, okay. A rich man, very rich. But he came and told some guy and pulled out 250,000 and told him, to be honest with you, this is all the money that I have that is mine. 250,000 Uganda shillings. If I told you his name, all of you know him very well. So there is a way the world deceives people that people are rich there. They are not. By the way, only rich people are going to come for me if you learn the things we are talking about. Eh? Where you have money and it is yours. Tell you have angel, like there is nobody who has a claim on it. It is yours. And you can do whatever you want with it. Then the Lord tells you now, give that. You say, oh, no problem. I'm expecting more. Eh? Like you come to a place of, now after I did that thing that day, now, every time somebody would bring money and say, the Lord told me to give you this. The guy puts 5 million in front of you. I say, Lord, how do we handle this? He says, that one, you give 2 million, 3 million is for you to cheer. Now, all the time, I continued having that sense that it's not my money. There is somebody who owns it, okay? And that person has to have the first say. So up to now, any money that I get, the first question is, how much of it is mine? And you tell me now that one, give all of it. And now since I know what I did, like I can't fear because I know there is going more coming. So he said, now that one, give all of it. Now that one, eat all of it. Now that one, you just give a tithe. Now that one, you give half. Like, you know, eh? Like, so I leave. Praise the Lord. Much taged. Kade. Leviticus 23. Now, don't think that there is nobody who doesn't fear. Eh? Don't think that it was the most pleasant thing for me to get 10 million, which I had just gotten, which I needed badly, and saw it. It was not the most pleasant thing. Eh? I will tell you that. Don't let anybody fool you that it is going to be very nice. It is not. But you do it in obedience, you only see the fruits later. Amen? That's how it works. Okay, now there are 7 Jewish feasts. I'm telling you this because we have to understand what these feasts mean for us today that are spoken of in the book, all of them in Leviticus 23, okay? Now, the first of the feasts, Leviticus 23, verse 1. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel and say to them, the feasts of the Lord, which you shall proclaim to be holy convocations, these are my feasts. Now, I want you to see, go back. He says these are the feasts of the Lord. Eh? They are his feasts. Now, the word feasts does not mean what you think it means. Eh? Like a barbecue and all that, eh? Where you eat a lot of meat and, you know, yeah, and grow very big. Eh? That's not what it means. What a feast means, proclaimed times or set times, times which are set. Now, of course, there was the eating meat that was there, but the Hebrew word for feasts here means a set time, time which the Lord has set. And he says these are his feasts to the Lord. And two times in this verse, he says they are feasts to the Lord. Now, a lot of them you know about them, of course. There was the Passover, okay? The first feast, which was celebrated on the night before they left Egypt. Now, we know what the Passover stands for, and we know what everything in there stands for. And we know the fulfillment of the Passover. Now, there are 7 feasts. 3 of them are in the autumn, that is March, April, around Easter time. One of them is in summer, and the other 3 are in spring. There's none in winter, okay? Now, the 3 which are at the beginning of the year have all been fulfilled by Christ. Now all the feasts are going to be fulfilled either by Christ and the church. Now the three have been fulfilled by Christ and the church. Now we know about the Passover. You see, on the Passover and the blood of, you know, put it there and, you know, death and you're covered and, you know, all that. We know about that. And we know that Jesus died on the day of Passover, okay? On a Passover day. And we know that if he had died on any other day, he would not have qualified to be the Christ, because he had to be sacrificed as the Lamb of God on Passover. And we also know how everything down to the minute of his crucifixion, how he spends the Passover Eve in the courts of Pharaoh and Herod. He carries his cross early in the morning at daybreak and arrives on the hill of Golgotha in the early morning. And at exactly 9 a.m., which according to the law was the time of the morning sacrifice, at exactly 9 a.m., he's nailed on the cross. Okay? Exactly 9 a.m. Now, all these things were timed to perfection. Now, you see, everything has to fit into a time, because God told them in the morning of a sacrifice and in the evening of a sacrifice. So now at midday, which is the sixth hour, is when the sun comes. Now, or rather, so when the darkness comes, and there's 3 hours of darkness representing, you know, a time when the devil seemed to be in charge of the world. Now, at exactly 3 p.m., that is the ninth hour, on the dot, he died. 3 p.m. is the time of the evening sacrifice. Now, all these things had to be fulfilled by Jesus for him to qualify to be the Christ. You understand? So, now, if any of the Pharisees had been keen, they would say, what coincidence is there that somebody starts carrying a cross early in the morning and at exactly the time of the morning sacrifice? It is there. But you see, the Roman soldiers who were there looked and said, this must be the Son of God, because they saw the things that happened at that time. Now, so we know the Passover was fulfilled. Now, we also know after Passover, the next day, in the Jewish month of Nisan, the following day after the Passover, is the Feast of Unleavened Bread, which is the second feast, which is 7 days, in which they ate bread, which does not have leaven. Now, symbolic of sin. Eh? Leaven means sin. Now, after the Passover, they eat bread which does not have leaven. Now, leaven means that thing which makes it kuzimburukuka, yeast. So it's flat bread. Now, if you see a picture of the typical bread which they used, all of it had to have stripes and holes in it. Now, you know, these things are all... And now God gives instructions on very minute things, even how to make bread. He gave them even the recipe for the bread and how to make the bread. And they would put it in an oven and it has to have stripes because it's representative of the blood of Jesus. And the Feast of Unleavened Bread of 7 days represents, after salvation, walking before the Lord. Now we know that, you know, his body. So he says, my body is, you know, is food, you know, eat my body and drink my blood and what and all that. And he's talking about something which, of course, the Jews didn't understand. But then, also the stripes in the bread were representative of, by his stripes were healed. Okay? Now even the holes, the bread had to have big holes like this. And by the instruction of God, now you say, why does God have to tell people how to make bread? Because the scripture says they looked upon him who was pierced. So all these things, every single aspect of that was a representation of Jesus. And he fulfilled all of them, the Feast of the Unleavened Bread. Now I'm going to rush through them because I want to go to the feast that matters to us, which is then afterwards was the Feast of the First Fruits. Now the first fruits came also in the same time and actually came on the day after the Sabbath of the unleavened bread, of the Passover. After the Passover, the Sabbath, then the next day, the day after the Sabbath was the feast of... So if let's say the Sabbath is on Saturday and the Passover, let's say, was on Tuesday, then they will celebrate the Feast of the First Fruits on Sunday, the day after the Passover. You understand? Eh? Whichever day they will wait for the next Sabbath, then the day after. So Jesus dies on Passover and then has to resurrect on the first fruits. Because 1 Corinthians 15:20 calls him what? Now, of course, 1 Corinthians 15, 20. Okay. But now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. Now, Paul does not use these words, you know, like the Holy Spirit. Eh? So he calls him first fruits because he had to rise from the dead on the day of, on the feast of first fruits. Now, all these things are to be to perfection for him to qualify to be to Christ. And the 300 and something prophecies that were fulfilled by the life of Jesus. Can you imagine that? Somebody comes and lives for 33 years and has fulfilled 300 and something prophecies to the dot. Now, how does he do that? He has to be led by the Holy Spirit every minute of every day. Even places, you know, for him to fulfill the prophecies which were written about him. If he's like you and he gets into the flesh a bit, one prophecy goes. And he's not the Christ. Of course, that couldn't happen. But now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who are fallen asleep. Go ahead. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection from the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. But each one in his own order. Christ the first fruit. Okay? Notice he doesn't call him the first fruit. He calls him the first fruits. And afterwards those who are Christ's at his coming. Now, so those feasts, all three of them are fulfilled by the church. Passover is salvation. Feast of unleavened bread is walking with the Lord. Okay? Then afterwards, the first fruits fulfilled by Jesus at his resurrection, as Paul says. Then it says, let me read for you what it says here about verse 15, Leviticus 23, verse 15. You shall count for yourselves from the day after the Sabbath. Remember, I told you the first fruits is the day after the Sabbath. From the feast of the first fruits, and from that day that you brought the sheath of the weave offering, 7 Sabbath. Now, on the feast of first fruits, what they do is they would get the first bit of the harvest, green leaves, and go and shake them before the Lord as like the first fruits, because now they are about to enter into harvesting period. Now he said, don't harvest, don't eat any of that year's produce until you've brought those leaves and shaken them before the Lord and offered a certain sacrifice, which was a perfect lamb and all that, all representation of Jesus, you see. And okay, now, from the day after the Sabbath, which is the day of the first fruits, from that day that you brought the sheath of the wave offering, count 7 Sabbaths shall be completed. That is 49 days. Now count 50 days. Now after the 49, the 50th day, to the day after the 7th Sabbath. That is from the first fruits, count 50 days then you shall offer a new grain offering to the Lord. Now that is called the Feast of the Weeks, also called Pentecost. Now, the scripture says when the day of Pentecost had fully come, then the Holy Spirit came. Now, if the Holy Spirit had not come on Pentecost, he would also be a chichupuri. Because now, remember, these are feasts which have been practiced for 1,500 years. But everything, the death of Jesus, the resurrection, the arrival of the Holy Spirit had to fall on those exact days. Now, why am I telling you this? Because there are feasts ahead which can tell us the things which are ahead. Amen? Which have not yet been fulfilled by Christ. So now this is the Feast of the Weeks, Pentecost. Now this is the only summer feast because the first ones are autumn, that is March, April. That is Passover, unleavened bread, and first fruits. All those are in those 2 months. Now that Feast of First Fruits was named when Christianity became adulterated by the Catholic Church, they named Easter. Ishtar is the god of fertility, the pagan god for fertility for the Roman Empire tribe. It was called Ishtar. So Easter was named after them, but it's actually the feast of when they are supposed to, the first fruit. So I don't know if that means you celebrate Easter. When is Easter? At the end of this, first of April, okay. So that is the first fruits. Okay, but called Easter. But anyhow, this is now Pentecost. Now, these are the feasts that have so far been fulfilled either by Jesus or by the church, or by the Holy Spirit, the arrival of the Holy Spirit. Okay? Now, all these feasts, the way he speaks of them, and all the symbolism in them, and what they offer, are all down to, you see, he says, you shall offer a sacrifice by fire, and you shall burn, and that's only for Pentecost. Why? Because when the Holy Spirit comes, he comes with fire and all that. So all these are, they are, it's very symbolic, by the way. And now, the next feast is the Feast of Trumpets, which is yet to be fulfilled. Now, after Pentecost, there is a long period. Now, the Feast of Trumpets in our calendar would come like September, October. If it comes very early, very late August, but usually September, October. Now, from May, by our calendar, when the Pentecost takes place, to September, October, that is the period for the church age. Now, the next feast is the Feast of Trumpets, which is the rapture. Okay? Now, that's why everything talks about 1 Corinthians 15, 20, 15:52 says that, start from 50. Now, this I say, brethren, that the flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. But behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. Now, I want you to notice this thing, the last trumpet, because the last Passover was when Jesus died. People celebrate Passover after that are offside. Okay? Because actually the word convocation shall be a convocation. That Greek Hebrew word means dress rehearsal. It's like rehearsing for an act. When you finish the act, that's the end. So there is no more rehearsal. So that all these feasts were rehearsals for something which God was preparing ahead. Now the word which was translated convocation in Leviticus 23 actually means would mean like something of a dress rehearsal, a preparation for. Now, when he says here the last trumpet, now from back then up to now, they're blowing trumpets. Okay? Now, and all this symbolism is all over the world, it's all over the scriptures. In the book of Joshua, when they cross the Jordan and they are entering into the promised land, and the first city they encounter is Jericho, it is brought down by trumpets, a symbol of a changing of time. And of people moving from, you know, to from slavery into the promised land. And it is brought down by trumpets. How many trumpets? Seven trumpets. Seven trumpets are also in the book of Revelation. Now, those trumpets don't mean, the trumpets in the book of Revelation don't mean the same as this last trumpet. This last trumpet means this is the end of the Feast of Trumpets. When the rapture happens, it's the end of the Feast of Trumpets. Now, 1 Thessalonians talking about the rapture says the Lord himself will descend with angels, okay, and with the trumpet, and then he'll come for the bride. Now that will be the last trumpet. That will be the fulfillment of the Feast of Trumpets. Now that also goes the way Passover went, okay, and the way first fruits and Pentecost all went. Now we are living in those realities. Now remember, it also says even Sabbath. Now here is what confuses seventh days. And man, they are very, very hard-hearted people, man. Like very hard-hearted to go turn around. Man, I don't know how the devil can this. Like somebody, Sabbath, Sabbath, Sabbath. Like Jesus died so that we keep Sabbath. Why did he have to die? Why didn't he just stay there? I mean, it's easier for me to not work on Saturday. Do you understand? But you see, when you turn something very powerful into a simple, irrelevant thing. Now, you see, all these are shadows, including Sabbath. Is a shadow. Now, it's the same as me going and doing Passover. That on the 14th day of the month of Nisan, you shall keep a Passover to the Lord. Useless. Jesus finished that. Now, then when you tell them that when Jesus said, I did not come to take away the law, I came to fulfill the law. For them, they think he means I came to practice the law. He did not come to practice the law. He came to be the fulfillment of it. By dying on Passover, he has fulfilled Passover. But you see, now how do you explain somebody the word fulfill? But you see now, by the way, man, and I encounter so many of them, and they, because they are the ones who first taught end time. Now, they are the ones who first taught these things of end time and what. So when I started my radio program, most of the people who were listening were Seventh-day Adventists before any of you started listening. Because for you, you were busy listening to the gospel of Chitore. Okay? Now, Seventh-day Adventists, Chijo, Chijo, Chitore. Man and bad, but that's very sad. It's very sad. Because the other day I was complaining, some gate man at home decided to play these pastors who are always. But the next day the man is saying the same thing. Watch Tebiakutuseguro. Like really, every day this is the end. It's like somebody said, today I'm going to give you your money. Today, then tomorrow, today I'm going to give you your money. Then the next day, today I'm when bina kutukadi. But you see, they say that every day, and you will find thousands of people going and they say, amen, 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 amen. Then the guy comes and rotate begin up, amen. 1 year, 2 years, every day I promise today. And man, that's very sad, by the way. Like it's really sad. Now, anyway. Okay. So for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. That's at the rapture. Those who now somebody cracked a joke that men will be raptured first and then women next. Then then he said, because the Bible says there was silence in heaven for 30 minutes. That means the women were not yet there. Because they are the ones who make a lot of noise. Of course, that's a joke. Silence in heaven. Praise the Lord. Okay, now, so this trumpet, now when the feast, when the rapture happens, and now let me tell you this. You can take this to the bank. When the rapture happens, it will happen on the Feast of Trumpets. Amen? Now somebody will say that's controversial. Jesus says nobody knows the day and the time. But Passover, Jesus was crucified on the day of Passover. He rose from the dead on the day of first fruits. The Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost. These are feasts which had been set 1,500 years ago. They were given to Moses on Mount Sinai. So there is no way that the Lord will not, the rapture will not happen on a Feast of Trumpets. So you find out every year, find out which, when is the Feast of Trumpets for that year. Then you start what? So if the Feast of Trumpets passes, say at least we have another year. I'm joking. But anyway, but all these things are set in time, all of them, specific times, time frames. Now, after the Feast of Trumpets, the next, there are four feasts. The three, four means, what's that? Autumn. Sorry, I was mistaken. Autumn is September, October. These ones, I was confused earlier. So the spring, March, April. So the Feast of Trumpets is the next we are waiting for of the seven. Four have been completed. Three are left. This one is the Feast of Trumpets, which will be fulfilled when the trumpet sounds and the Lord picks, comes and gets his bride. Now, after that, there was 10 days after the Feast of Trumpets to the Day of Atonement. The Day of Atonement is also symbolic, but it's probably the one feast that is not going to be fulfilled by the church, because that represents the second coming of the Lord, when now everybody has to stand before the Lord, and that is the time when books, you know. But even for the church, judgment seat of Christ after the rapture, before you go and get your reward, before the good things, you have to go through the judgment seat of Christ. And after you've gone through that, then you go for your reward. Now that is a bit of atonement. In other words, settling scores. So we have to sit down and settle scores, and we find out where you stand before you go and get your reward. Of course, the judgment seat of Christ, as I've told you before, is about rewards, is for those going to heaven. Those are not going to heaven, those who are already in heaven. So it happens in heaven. It's just about who gets what reward and who occupies which place You know, in the heavenlies, who is going to be in the higher heaven, in the middle heaven, in the lower heaven? In the chirasha. In the chirasha of, chirasha of heaven. By the way, let me tell you, did I tell you there is a story of this guy who was sick? So the relatives went and called my man Kenneth again. So they called the guy. So he came to pray for him. So now when he was praying for him, he laid his hands on him and said, God, he wanted to say heal, but he ended up saying save. So he tried to, God heal, instead of heal, he was saying save, save, save. So he could not get the word heal out of his mouth. So he wondered and said, he tried to say the word heal but failed. He was actually saying save. So he first stood back and asked the Lord that, why am I failing to say the word heal? And the Lord told him that you let him die. He said, because he's very hard-hearted. If he gets healed, he will actually go to hell. But now this sickness has humbled him a little. If he dies now, he will go to heaven. But if you get him healed, you will go to hell. So can you imagine, even God wants you to die out of his love for you? Like, he loves you so much, he says, let him die now. Because, do you know those people who you have to get them at? Now, and that this happens a lot, by the way. When God knows this person is slippery. So the 1 minute you come, you actually die and go to heaven. Because the alternative would have been spend eternity in hell. And that is the love of God. So, but because this man was a general, if he had said the word heal, God would have healed. But he refused him to say the word. The word couldn't come out of his mouth. So the guy died and went to heaven. But the Lord told him he's so hard-hearted. Like, his heart is so hard. Like, the minute he gets healed here, that's the end. He will go to hell. Like, wanomukwasi zako katoto, eh? Let me, like, I don't know why I said that story, but you know, like, now, you know, the funny thing is, the way the gospel is preached, people think that God wants anybody to go to hell. He does not. Like, even if it means taking somebody at that moment, if they die now, they will go to heaven. Because if they don't, they will. Now, there are even people, guys who are generals, and they got off. You know? People like, you remember William Branham? Powerful, powerful guys. Powerful guys. Now, that guy, nobody, like, at that time, moved in the supernatural, like him. Prophetic, healing, signs and wonders. Very, very powerful things. Very powerful things. Top man of God. Until, I think until he got into, now somehow the man developed a hatred for women. And then he started teaching that women are the seed of the serpent. Like, I don't know, maybe some woman messed him up. But the guy started, man, he became very vicious towards women and said, women are the seed of the serpent. Then he said, you look in the Bible, everywhere there is something bad. There has to be a woman. Then he also turned around and said that he was miracles. I think he said he was the Elijah to come or Melchizedek or something. Anyway, he got a bit confused. But now, then he had an accident and he was very badly injured. Now, then his wife, in the same accident, died. So when he came to himself, he asked people, where is my wife? Then they said, sorry, she's passed on. He told them, just carry me and take me where she is. So they carried him, and he was lying down, and he just put his hand on, like on her chest, like this, and said, remember us, O Lord, in the time of our need. The woman came back to life. Even the injuries had all gone instantly. But he himself, he died. Now, and he died a very bad, painful death. It was not good at all. But now, when you read the books of these people who have been there, the guy is seated on a big throne. And the Lord said that, so he asked this man, before he died, he messed up. The Lord said that He was wrong, but he was sincerely wrong. In other words, he did these things believing fully that the Lord had told him that. You understand? Eh? When you're convinced, but it's wrong. But you see, God cannot punish you for that. Eh? Because you're doing it because you love him and you want to obey him. But that's not what he has told you. But you see, so, and the Lord told him that when he saw that the guy was going to cross and go the other side, eh? Cross the line, because he was actually getting into error very fast. And if he had stayed longer, he was just going to end up going the other side. So when the Lord saw he was about to cross over, he terminated his life. And everything that he did before, he's on his throne. And it's one of the big thrones. Now you see the judgment of God is what? Is just. Now the man was wrong, but he believed he was right. Now, but then, again, but how come some other guy said that, asked the Lord, but why did he die such a terrible death? Then the Lord said that people were beginning to worship him, and he somehow had to show people that he's human to save the other souls. Eh? You understand? Eh? To save the other guys. So the man just puts his hand on his wife and she wakes up, but for him he can't. And he actually goes through a lot of pain before he dies. So now God says, if he had died with a lot of mumanyi, eh? Like people would have worshipped him. Even now there is a sect called Branhamites. You've heard of them? Yeah. They follow after him. A cult. They follow after him. Branhamites. But you see, even if God tried to save people, why do you think God fought for the body of Moses? He hid it. Because the children of Israel would have worshipped. Now that's what happens. When somebody moves in the supernatural that much, eh, they were going to worship. They would probably go there and start erect a shrine and sat at the body. So God tells them, wave to them, now go up the mountain. And he died there and God buried him himself. Now imagine such a man. Eh? God, God comes and digs a grave. I mean, God buried him himself because he didn't want the children of Israel to know where he was buried. Now even in the book of Jude it says the angel Michael, the archangel, contested with the devil for the body of Moses. Why does the devil want the body of Moses? If he can get it, he will mislead so many people to worship Moses. So you see, even God had to send Michael to come and make sure the devil doesn't get hold of the guy's body. Because it's precious. Why? To save the other people. Amen? How did I get there? I don't know. We're talking about feasts, eh? Yeah, so praise the Lord. But you know, I know a lot of things. So even when I divert, you're learning. Eh? Okay, even when I deviate. So now the next feast is I told you after that, after the trumpets, then is the Day of Atonement, when books, everybody has to come and they are judged according to that. Then after that, the last feast in the autumn or in the fall is the Feast of Tabernacles. Now, tabernacles means dwelling. In the Old Testament Feast of Tabernacles, they left their houses and went outside and lived in a booth, you know, in a booth, like almost like horse stables or things which were built like that. So they did that for 7 days. Eh? Now, Jesus was actually born on the first day of the Feast of Tabernacles. Now, tabernacles means dwelling, okay? To tabernacle means dwelling place, okay? Now, the thing is, he became flesh and dwelt among men. In other words, he became flesh and tabernacled among men. So, Jesus comes and is born on the Feast of Tabernacles in a horse stable, okay? As him coming and tabernacling. Now the fulfillment of the Day of Tabernacle, or rather of the Feast of Tabernacles, also which is 7. Now you see these ones of 7 are all divine. The ones, the Feast of Unleavened Bread, 7 days, which involve, you know. Now the Feast of Tabernacles was also 7 days. They live in the booth. They leave their houses, eh? They are well-built houses and go and live in Bosisira somewhere, like where Jesus was born, for 7 days. Now of course they didn't understand that, but now that is after. In the millennium, when we tabernacle with God when we are with him permanently. Seven, divine, permanently. Now, you know, where there was neither night nor day, okay? There was no sun or moon, but the glory of the Lord covered everything. So we are there in him, in the new Jerusalem. That is the fulfillment of the feasts of the tabernacles. Now, when they ask you about the seven Jewish feasts, you'll know what to answer. Praise the Lord. And when they ask you which feast is the next, you'll also know what? Which feast is the next? Trumpets. And which one is after trumpets? Atonement, then tabernacles. Those are the ones which are yet to be fulfilled. Okay? Glory to God. Amen. So now, I've actually wanted to be telling you about these feasts for so long, but it sounded like an academic thing. So I kept on putting it off until today. But at least now you know that everything in the New Testament, in the Old Testament, is a reflection of what is in the New, you know, in the New Testament. Now let me tell you something which shocked me. Like all those specific things which the Lord put there. Very specific things. Now there's a scripture which shocked me, which I learned when I was learning about the message of... Now this is digressing. Now this is a scripture which messed me up for real. Leviticus chapter 13, verse... Start from 7. But if the scab... Now this is the laws concerning leprosy. Now this is what shows you that the Old Testament, everything is a shadow of what is here. Now, but if the scab should all spread over the skin after he has been seen by the priest for his cleansing, he shall be seen by the priest again. Verse 8. And if the priest sees that the scab has indeed spread on the skin, then the priest shall pronounce him unclean. It is leprosy. Amen? Okay, now go ahead. When the leprous sore is on a person, then he shall be brought to the priest. And the priest shall examine him. And if indeed the swelling on the skin is white, and it has turned the hair white, and there is a spot of raw flesh in the swelling, it is an old leprosy on the skin of his body. The priest shall pronounce him unclean, and shall not isolate him, for he is unclean. And if the leprosy breaks out all over the skin, and the leprosy covers all the skin of the one who has the sore, from his head to his foot, wherever the priest looks, then the priest shall consider, and indeed if the leprosy has covered all his body, he shall pronounce him clean. At first I thought that I found an error in the Bible. Do you understand that? If the sore is only on a part of his body, unclean. If the sores, if the leprosy is all over his body from the top to the bottom, he's clean. What kind of judgment is that? Praise the Lord. Now, I discovered, do you remember I told you about, that message was titled, I think, Overcoming Addictions and all that. And I was talking about weaknesses and all that. Now, the reason people struggle to walk in the ways of God is because they think they have strength of their, you know, you've seen people like that? Yeah, me, I don't have a weakness of this. I don't have a weakness of this. I have a weakness of this. So I'm like 70% okay. 30% I am. Okay, I still have a weakness. Unclean. Then when somebody says, I have no strength of my own. Everything from top to bottom is leprosy. Then God says, you're clean. Because you qualify for the grace of God when you acknowledge you have nothing good. Do you understand? When you still have some good things you're holding on to, unclean. Praise the Lord. Now, this is what this... Now, when I read this, I said, what? Have you understood it properly? Now, when you feel... Like, you know those people who think that I am 80% good, they are the ones who condemn other people. Now, those who know that there is no good in me, the only good I have is the, you know, is the blood of Jesus. The only merit I have is that Jesus died for me. Those are the people who actually get the biggest blessings Because God says, so you see no good in yourself, then you're clean. That means the only thing you're seeing is Jesus. Do you understand? Eh? Now, do you know why people don't get healed and get blessed? Because they still have some good in them. They're unclean. Now, the qualification for being clean is acknowledging that you're totally unclean. The leprosy is from the head to the bottom. Then God says, you're clean. Do you understand? Like, it is so contrary to the reasoning of the world. Like, it goes against every form of logic and what. How can you say that if the leprosy is from the foot, head to the toe, the priest shall pronounce him clean? Glory to God. Now, when you understand that, you stop trying to struggle to do things which you are not supposed to struggle to do. Just declare that I cannot do this on my own. Then God says you're clean. And then he will come and do it through you. Praise the Lord. Even ministry, even what? Empty yourself of anything and say, the Lord, everything good that I have is the Lord. Now, even healings, you find people, now, I remember T.L. Osborne said this. He said people who are not, you know the great T.L. Osborne? He said people who are not born again get healed fast. They are the first people to get healed. Why? Because they don't come with any qualifications. They know I have none. I'm just coming to a good God. I want to be healed. And now when you come without any mayinja, you easily connect to God. Now then somebody gets born again, then gets into church. Then he's told, lekachino. Then now you go to God as if like, can you imagine? I stopped drinking because of you. I stopped humanizing because of you. I stopped what? So like you feel you have a merit. Eh? You feel you deserve to have a special standing with him. Unclean. Then a Muslim will come and he says, I heard they are praying for sick people. I want to get healed. And for him, he has no pretensions. He's just coming to a good God. And God says, clean, healed. Okay, that will not make him safe, but healed. You understand? Eh? The guy lives with his miracle and these born again guys are getting bitter and bitter and bitter. That thing used to mess me up. There's a guy, I know a doctor who got HIV through operating. Eh? And we tried to pray for him to get healed and what? It failed. But I realized that he came with this thing. Okay, I got to know later after the guy had died that he came with this thing of, you know, like I deserve better and what. If you want to lose God, come when you deserve anything. If the only thing you come with is the blood of Jesus. I am not good, but God is good. I have no merit. I am coming here on the merit of Jesus, that Jesus died for me. Just as I am without a plea, but that thy blood was shed for me. Eh? No plea. The only plea I have that Jesus shed his blood for me. And that's all that qualifies me. Can you imagine for everything? Now you see, even in the Old Testament, when a priest, on the Day of Atonement, you present a lamb, which is 1 year old, pure, without blemish, white, you know, and you present it to the priest. And then the priest is standing there, and he's examining your lamb to see if it qualifies for the sacrifice. Now, when the priest examines it and it meets the qualifications, and he cuts it and puts it on the altar, your sins are forgiven for 1 year. Until the next Day of Atonement, then you have to come back. Eh? But notice that the priest does not examine the person. He examines the lamb. Eh? Glory to God. The person is there because he's a sinner. The priest is not interested in the person and what he has done. He's interested in the lamb. So now when you come with the lamb of God, eh? You're sorted. Because they examine the lamb. Eh? Not you. So when you come before God, you come with the perfect lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. And that is the only merit you have. The only merit. And it is, you don't need any more. You don't need any less. That's it. You don't need any more merit than Jesus. Do you understand? Eh? Like there is no other plea you need. Here is my lamb. My lamb is Jesus. Does God find Jesus perfect? So I'm sorted. He doesn't even have to look at me. Eh? He looks at the lamb. Glory to God. Eh? Now you see these simple things about the Old Testament and how they relate in the New Testament. When you do not see these things, then you start trying to be your own lamb. When God gave you a perfect lamb, which is perfect, which when he examines, he sees tick, 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 qualified. Glory to God. So he qualified you himself. So God sorted. Now, you know a scripture which I like, Colossians 1:12. Eh? Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Giving thanks to who? Who has done what? Did we qualify ourselves? He qualified us. Eh? So for us, we are just beneficiaries. So God says, you're qualified for the inheritance. Also you. He's the one who did. He made his own plans himself. Sent his own lamb himself. For you, you only come in at the level of beneficiary. Glory to God. Himself. So if the examiner says you've passed the exam, who are you to say I want a retake? Eh? Praise the Lord. The examiner says passed. Who are you to say that you want a retake? You come forward. Hmm? Who are you to say I want a retake? You have passed. The person who set the exam has said passed. Go to the next level. Praise the Lord. Amen. Okay, now I've finished preaching. Eh? Now I'm going to... Glory to God. Glory to God. Okay. No, you stand. You hold my hands. In the name of Jesus, I rebuke every attempt of the enemy to sabotage your family. In the name of Jesus. Everything that you entered into unknowingly that causes the attack of the enemy upon your family, in the name of Jesus, I cancel it and I render it powerless over you and over your family, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, and now every aspect of your family, and even the love and all aspects, from this moment on, are healed. And there's a complete healing. And I cover your home in the name of Jesus. I cover it in the blood of Jesus. And I decree that you're released. You're released. Now hold her womb. Hold her womb now in the name of Jesus. Now I see those twins there. Yeah. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Now I'm seeing somebody who has... something which is attacking the private parts. I don't know, it's not a UTI, but as if it is, it's something more serious than that, and it is recurring. It's recurring. Now, if you're that person, receive this healing today in the name of Jesus. Receive it this day in Jesus' name. Actually, it causes, whatever it is, causes a lot of pain. In like passing urine and even a lot of pain during intercourse. So now that thing is being healed in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Now I speak healing upon that person in Jesus' name. And I speak healing upon that person in the name of Jesus, and I decree that from this day onwards, it is reversed. It is reversed in the name of Jesus. Now I'm seeing somebody else who has, now this one, you stand up and come. This one who has a serious problem of like a pain in the stomach, I think, which is caused by extreme indigestion. Extreme indigestion. Now, if you're that person, come forward. Okay. First way to come forward. Because it causes passing of very, very bad winds, eh? Like dangerous, you know, eh? Smelly, eh? Not the normal. Okay, so don't come forward. Eh?
Amen.
Stay where you are. Let's pray for you from there. In the name of Jesus. Rika bazante lebe shoko krozanta leba shiko kwazite lebe shela brat. Rika bazante lebe shilo krozanta. In the name of Jesus, I speak healing upon that person in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name, I thank you, Father, because that person is healed. Is healed in the name of Jesus. Now, a knee, somebody had an accident on it, a lady actually. It keeps on like as if sweating and getting water and so on. And you've never had, I don't know, it must be the left because it's the one I'm feeling like touching, or is it? You've never had any sort of peace in that area, in the area of that knee. In the name of Jesus, I thank you, Father, because there is healing. Healing in that place, in Jesus' name, in the name of Jesus. Oh, glory to God. I'm also seeing breast cancer. I'm seeing breast cancer. But the person, if that's your relative, has breast cancer, bring them next Friday. Because I'm seeing somebody here who was, like somebody who is close, real close to them, who has breast cancer. Who is that person? If you have somebody who has like a real lump in, you know, in the painful now, in the breast. Eh? Not you, somebody you know. Eh? Okay, you bring them next Friday. Why do you take long? Huh? We have to finish this service. Eh? So you bring them next Friday in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus. I bless your name. Now let me speak a blessing upon you, each and everybody. So receive this in the name of Jesus. I bless you.
Amen.
I decree that you move from glory to glory.
Amen.
I decree that this week, the coming week, in the next days, you are going to see a miracle. In the name of Jesus, you are going to see a miracle of connection. You are being connected to somebody who aids your destiny in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, you meet that person who takes you to the next level in the name of Jesus. So you divine encounters for you between now and next Friday in the name of Jesus. Some of you now, they will even come from abroad in Jesus' name, and they will come and, you know, your life will change as a result of that connection in the name of Jesus. Now receive it. Receive it. Now those people who have been living in need, who are always behind their needs, like I spoke about at the beginning. Now this time, God is putting you ahead of your need.
Amen.
God is putting you ahead of your need.
Amen.
The needs will come when you have more than enough to sort them.
Amen.
You will be one of those who has money that has no claimant.
Amen.
And the only person claiming is you.
Amen.
You shall not have money that has strings attached to it here and there.
Amen.
Yours will be yours in the name of Jesus. Eh? Now receive this in Jesus' name, because your financial blessing is being released here in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
A financial blessing that changes you. Now, if you are those people who have been dealing with money lenders, stand up. If you have some money lender, you know, stand up. Let me release you from the life of money lenders. Eh? So now there's a special grace for this. I didn't come to talk about those things, by the way. They were led of me by the Spirit. So there is a grace to take you away from that place where they are calling you every time. Money lenders are calling you now. Just put up your right hand. So now in the name of Jesus, I release a special financial blessing that takes you out of that life and puts you on the highway to true prosperity. Eh? In the name of Jesus, on the highway to true prosperity. And now you see the provision of God in a way that you've not seen. And even your debts, you get a supernatural provision to clear them in the name of Jesus. And now after this, after the Lord has done this miracle, you will not remember any number of a money lender again.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus, because you will not need them. Now you'll be lending, but you not people will call you to borrow from you, not the other way around. So I release this grace upon you in the name of Jesus. Now receive it, it's from the Lord. Eh? I'm not just saying things, receive it, it's from the Lord in the name of Jesus Christ. Now you get, now one of you wants to sell something. Somebody is trying to sell something, like some property, and has been struggling to sell it. And come, hurry up. Okay, hurry up. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Yes. Okay, hold my hand, all of you. In Jesus' name. Now I release right buyers for you in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name. Now this much, you sell and you get paid in the name of Jesus. This much. Today is what? Second March. So this month, you sell your property and you get released, and then you step out of that point of debt in the name of Jesus. Amen. Okay. All right. You may be seated. I thank you, Father. I thank you, Father, because you free each and every one of your children from financial bondage. And as many as shall believe you shall see an increase in their finances, and they shall move on the and step on the highway to complete blessing. Thank you, Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Father, because this is our portion and we shall walk in it, and we shall be known as those that are truly rich and not those of the world that have a name that they are rich, but in reality they are broke. Now for us, we shall be different. We shall walk in the grace that is upon us and walk into those finances. Thank you, Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name.